7 tonight. If you would please, Psalms chapter 77. And if you have a marker or something, you can mark your Bible. We'll also be in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 1 this evening. Psalms chapter 77, beginning in verse number 3. The psalmist writes, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my songs in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the few moments we have tonight. May they be profitable, and may your will be done. May your spirit move amongst us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We looked at several topics throughout this series, and tonight we come to one that I'm pretty sure, unless the Lord just changes it pretty dramatically, this is going to be the last in this series this week and most likely next Wednesday night. Then we'll move on to our new series that we've titled Reset for the new year, and looking at the first century church and what it means to be a first century church. But tonight, we see from this account, and we see also from the account that we're going to read in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, something that is a lot more prominent than you might believe, and that I would have believed several years ago amongst independent Baptists, amongst saved people, amongst churchgoers. And that's why we're going to take 2 weeks to look at this particular subject, the particular issue before us tonight. And that's this idea. Tonight we'll begin simply by doing this. We'll just identifying depression. Identifying depression. And I certainly understand and believe that it would take more than just two messages to cover all of the entire spectrum of depression and to completely cover every aspect of depression. But it is something that is, I believe, a reality in the life of God's people today. But I believe wholeheartedly that we can find answers in the Word of God for this subject, even this subject of depression. There was a famous Christian psychologist who was interviewed on one of America's most well-known and most popular Christian radio programs, and the host asked, how do you feel about telling a child he shouldn't do something because the Bible says he shouldn't do it? The psychologist replied, well, I've mixed emotions about that. He said, I'm a little nervous about using the Bible as a club to beat people over the head. My first thought was, we're going to talk about that statement in a second, but my first thought was, if you're beating someone over, if someone is being beaten over the head, then one, either the man using the Word of God is using it incorrectly, or number two, the person that feels like they're getting beat over the head is under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It could be a myriad of other things, but it could be that that speaker, whoever's using Scripture, is using it incorrectly. But to me, when someone would say that they're a little nervous about using the Bible as a club, there's something a little bit off about that statement. Obviously, the Bible should not be used as a club to beat people, but to refer to the plain teachings of Scripture, the commands, the warnings, instructions as somehow being oppressive or repressive towards people shows that this psychologist didn't have a clear understanding of how God intended his word to be used in the first place. He intended his word to be used to be a real living book and to be a real living standard and to be a real living help to people with real needs. And unfortunately, some Christian psychologists today have the same philosophy when it comes to topics like depression. They tend to approach it from a primarily psychological rather than a scriptural standpoint. And I always have to stop and think, who made man? Who made man's mind? Who made man's emotions? God did. God understands how we're made. God understands this subject of depression. And however, to the extent that psychiatry and psychology are consistent with the Word of God, I believe that they can be helpful. But to the extent that they are inconsistent with the Word of God, they are drastically and dramatically unhelpful. And Christians who struggle with depression should be careful that any counselor they go to know the Bible and use it as their main source, because many today will try to spiritualize psychology by sprinkling in a little bit of scripture to their own ideas and to their own reasons. But the proper approach to counseling is not to start from psychology and add scripture, but to start with scripture. And I'm not against Christian counselors. I'm not against those who would help people understand their problems, as long as it's from a biblical perspective. Everything ought to be a biblical perspective. Nor am I simply suggesting that you simply just pray away your problems. And I mean that in the sense that people refer to prayer today. I'm not even talking about the biblical aspects of prayer. And we'll actually look at those tonight. But there are counselors who claim to be Christian who are telling God's people that prayer and Bible study and trusting God don't work in dealing with life's problems. But I'd remind us again, the Bible has much to say about what goes on in our lives. And in its pages, we meet godly people who grappled with depression. One of them is the writer of this psalm before us, Psalm 77. It is attributed as a psalm of Asaph. He's the author of several psalms. And this psalm, we'll look at this probably more in depth next Wednesday night, details his inner thoughts, emotions, and struggles as he wrestled with this idea of depression. He begins with a tone of hopelessness. He said, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And he feels as if God has forsaken him and he'll never rise above his current condition. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. This evening, though, I want to look, first of all, at the expression of depression. And, of course, Psalm 77 gives us several keys. And whenever I think of this, I go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 1, and I never thought about it until I began studying this thought in a previous study about this idea of depression. But there's one character in Scripture who gives a very clear definition of what common psychology defines as depression. In 1 Samuel chapter number 1, if you'll join me there, I'm going to read several verses. It says, now there was a certain man, of Ramath-Thamzophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And here we'll begin to see the condition that Hannah was in. And we must understand that this isn't in Scripture. It's recorded for us here, but it's not a one-time event. We get the picture. This is a recurring event. Yearly they came. Yearly there was this adversary. Yearly there was this sacrifice, and it was a recurring thing. They went to Shiloh. They worshiped together. There was a meal they had together. It should have been a joyful event for Hannah, for the family. But each year, Peninnah uses that as an opportunity to irritate and mock her for her barrenness. And there was a silent warfare. There was a repeated attack. And Hannah, the name means a woman of grace, a woman of grace. And she did manifest that spirit in how she dealt with her condition and how she dealt with her adversary. And however, when we get down to verse number 7, and it says, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. When Elkanah, in verse number 8, questioned Hannah, he's actually describing what today's psychiatrists would consider symptoms of depression. I read this a while ago, probably a couple of years ago, that some primary symptoms of primary or clinical depression, and they are these: feelings of overwhelming sadness or fear, or the seeming inability to feel emotion, a decrease in the amount of interest and pleasure in all or most daily activities, changing appetite, or a marked weight gain or weight loss, disturbed sleep patterns such as insomnia, loss of sleep, or hypersomnia, which is excessive sleep, fatigue, mental or physical loss of energy, intense feelings of guilt, helplessness, hopelessness, worthlessness, loneliness, or anxiety, feelings or fear of being abandoned by those closest, and trouble concentrating or keeping focus or making decisions, or a generalized slowing of memory. And so she gives us several examples. The first example that she gives us is this disturbed sleep pattern. Her husband asked her, why aren't you eating? Why are you crying? And depression doesn't just affect someone mentally. It can affect us physically as well. And biblical counselors say that it can affect us. It can be totally debilitating to sleep, physically exhausted. The mind is churning with worry and fear. And it's at these points, times like this, when our mind is so overwhelmed and we're unable to sleep, that we often hear people just give it to the Lord and go to sleep. And that's much easier said than done. One of the problems with depression is it's not always easy to identify a specific worry that is keeping the mind from sleep. It's this general sense of wakefulness keeping us from the rest we desire. In Psalm chapter 77, in verse number 4, he said, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. He understood that depression hinders our speech. And many times you may have heard people struggling with depression say, I'm not sure I can even explain it to you. We find that in Hannah's case as she prayed to the Lord. The Bible says she spake in her heart only. I'm thankful for the reminder in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, of the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives. And the Bible says He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And when we get to that point where we can't even verbalize what we're saying, the Spirit of God there works on our behalf, interceding for us. Depression twists the way that we look at our life. When we look at the past, and look at Psalm chapter 77, verse number 5, He said, I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. It's easy to hearken back to those so-called the good old days and think that life was easier and much happier. In Psalm chapter 77, verse 5 and 6, Asaph could remember that he used to have a song in the night. In verse number 6, he says, I called remembrance, as though he once had this song in his heart, this song in the night, but doesn't anymore. It affects the way we look at life. We look back at the past and remember it as the good old days. And the truth is there were problems then too. Another difficulty of depression is that we're tempted to become our own counselors. There in Psalm chapter 77, verse number 6, he said, I commune with my own heart. I commune with my own heart. He then continued with some probing questions, and there was no answer in himself. He asked the questions, Will the Lord cast off forever, and will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? If we begin to search ourselves for the answers to our problems, we've strayed from the path that has the cure. Of course, 1 Corinthians reminds us when we come before the Lord for the Lord's Supper that there's a time of self-examination when we partake of the Lord's Supper, but that has to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 reminds us looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And what the psalmist is reminding us of is that if we only look to ourselves, if we're only seeking for our own judgment or wisdom or direction, he says, well, it's one of two things will happen. We either convince ourselves that we're doing okay and we become proud, or we'll see that we're doing poorly and become even more discouraged. But looking to Jesus brings out the truth. You see, when we realize how holy God is, we see that we have a long way to go, but we also see that we have a wonderful Savior who will help us along the journey. And we see from the life of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, she was experiencing an overwhelming sorrow. In verse number 10, it says she was in bitterness of soul. It says she was refused to eat, she refused to sleep, she refused to socialize with the family. There was a lot of things going on. Depression actually means to push down. The problem can be so large and heavy that it causes us to feel overwhelmed and weighed down. And the psalmist thought his sorrow had pressed him to the point he could never be happy again. He could never be happy again. But then there is a reality. We see the reality from the life of Hannah tonight. We'll be in 1 Samuel the rest of the evening if you want to go ahead and lose your place there in Psalms chapter 77. The reality is that there is hope. There is hope, and I understand in the middle of a depression, it might not feel that way, might not seem that way, but there's hope. And one author said, hope is what you need when dealing with depression. Hannah had hope. Look in your Bibles in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. It says in verse number 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hannah had hope. She had been here at the temple before, and she knew exactly who to turn to. And she turned to the Lord in prayer. And as Christians, I think we all believe in prayer. We'd all agree that we believe in prayer, but in practice, prayer is often not our first response. We have to understand this wasn't the first time Hannah had prayed to the Lord. And here Hannah is again pouring her heart out to the Lord. Verse 11, notice it says that she poured her heart, her soul out to the Lord of hosts, and the Lord would meet that need. We know the story. The Lord of hosts, though, though it's a common name for the Lord in the Old Testament, it's significant that Hannah was the first to address God in prayer with this title. It emphasized the fact that God is sovereign over heaven and earth. And if that's who God is, then learning to come to Him in prayer isn't just a nice thing that we do. It's something that we must absolutely do. You see, prayer is our means of access to an all-sufficient God who alone can meet our needs. Psalms 46:1 reminds us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Prayer isn't just us tipping our cap or giving God a gratuity of some sort, as though we want to make sure that we include God, but then we're really going to figure it out on our own. Prayer is laying hold of a living God who understands our deepest needs. Prayer is acknowledging that we are depending totally on Him. Prayer is the God-ordained way for believing people to deal with their problems. Again, Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. By nature, I understand mankind, we're self-sufficient. We think we can handle things by ourselves. So we keep God kind of tucked away in our back pocket, but when emergencies come, He wants us to learn from those things. He wants us to draw close to Him in those situations, in those problems. And so as we see these things in our life, there are some promises that we get in His Word, some powerful promises from Scripture. I'd like to just give you some Scripture tonight. Psalm 63, verse number 1, the Bible says, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalms 34:17 said, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth. It sounds a lot like what Hannah was doing in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I'm very fond of Psalms chapter 40, verse number 1. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. It was a terrible place. Out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us where they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I'm thankful for Psalms 147, verse number 3, that tells us that he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. We could go on and on. Isaiah 40, verse 31, about the renewing strength. Isaiah 12, verse 2, where it says, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Isaiah 41, 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Psalms Philippians 4, even in the New Testament, verse number 6, Paul wrote, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. For Hannah, in our example, and we'll look next week in Psalms chapter 77, when the going got tough, instead of indulging in excuses or in emotions or in negative circumstances, Hannah simply turned to the Lord. And it was a wonderful example of Hannah and her prayer. It was a prayer that was born out of sorrow. It was a prayer that was born out of great heaviness and hurt and suffering. But in spite of her feelings, she laid bare her soul. She poured her heart out before the Lord. It was a prayer that involved submission, as she presented herself before the Lord as his handmaid, willing to do whatever he wanted her to do. It was a prayer that involved sacrifice. And our natural reaction when an unfair or unnecessary circumstance produces dissatisfaction or bitterness or disappointment or discouragement, and those things will come when the lingering pain turns to a great hurt, our natural reaction should be to turn to God. We should be people that are familiar with the Word, familiar with prayer, familiar with being in the throne room of God. Depression is not the end. It doesn't have to be the end. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, when Hannah was in bitterness of soul, when she was of sorrowful spirit, verse 15 says, when she was overwhelmed by circumstances or obstacles, her natural reaction was to turn to the Lord. When we're in that situation, when we're in bitterness of soul, when we're in a sorrowful spirit, when we're overwhelmed, our natural reaction ought to be to turn to God, to turn to his Word. We have promise after promise after promise of God's presence, his power, his provision for us through this time. And I don't take this lightly. That's why I didn't want to bite off a great big chunk tonight. But I believe that there are some powerful truths in the Scriptures we've looked at this evening. And we'll take a few moments here this evening to have some time of prayer with the Lord. Pray for our requests and pray for one another. And we don't know what others are going through, and it could be something like depression, difficult, heavy, hard to get over, hard to get through. Let's be sure that we're praying and in prayer for one another. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for your Word and the challenge and the truths we find in it. Be with these few moments as we pray and take our requests to you. May we be fervent and faithful in praying for one another and lifting up our requests before you tonight. We thank and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.